Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to Action Movie Anatomy. It's Wednesday, and we're talking about the highest grossing opening weekend film in the history of movies. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Infinity War today on the show. We'll see you guys in one action-packed second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Wow! What's up, everybody? We're excited, ramped. We're here.
I realized that I put on a purple tie to, like, commemorate the movie, pay my respects.
To Thanos?
And then I changed it, because I like this one more, and then I realized that I had a purpose behind it. I just didn't do it.
Okay.
I don't know why we're opening the show with that story.
Guys, I'm sorry you had to see that. Welcome back to the show. It's Action Movie Anatomy. It's here.
In
it's Wednesday.
Time, you will know what it's like to lose.
Nice James Spader.
Thank
you.
You
want to do the Thanos voice and Thanos voice? Or
no. Shut up. You want to do the Wakanda voice?
No. No, I don't. I embarrassed myself with that one. What's up, everybody? It's Action Movie Anatomy. We're back. It's here. It's Wednesday. It's 6 o'clock. It's a weird time for us to do this episode.
Yeah, it's really weird being here at night.
Yeah, it's odd.
I like it.
We're here to talk about Avengers Infinity War. We were hyped on this movie. I want everybody to know this is going to be an extremely spoiler-filled episode. So if you have not yet seen the $630 million opening film, if you're not one of those people,
go watch it right now
and come back
and then watch this episode later. Again, so many spoilers.
Can I do
spoiler
it?
Yes.
There we go.
Don't even try to watch this and avoid spoilers.
What's amazing too is that we're not even spoiling it for Marissa Serafini in the booth, because she was finally able to catch the last seat in a 7 o'clock showing last
night. We're gonna talk about Spider-Man being stabbed through the heart and dying in Tony Stark's arms. Just kidding, that didn't happen. That was a fake spoiler, just in case. So now, don't watch this if you don't want it to be spoiled.
All done.
Yeah.
Really quickly, I just want to say happy birthday, Alex Pope.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy freaking birthday.
You are a champion, my friend, and hopefully you will grow up to be an action movie lover just like us. Not just like us.
Probably, and just probably like your dad, also.
Just like your father, Mr. Simon, who has been a longtime member of the Army.
Longtime member of the Army. So thanks. Thanks for that, everybody. It's Infinity War. We're here. It's Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network. This is the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies and pop culture by the bucketful. I'm Ben Bateman. That's Andrew Guy.
I just pointed and clicked because you introduced me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find us online. I'm at Andrew Guy. He's at Ben Bateman Media. And you can find us online at patreon.com/teamaction. Really quickly, want to shout out a couple of our members.
Yeah.
Mr. Lance Walsh and Ken Hui. Guys, we salute you.
We salute you.
Thanks for being in the Army.
Thanks for being in the Army. So we cover action movies on the show. Those movies adhere to four basic rules. I'm hyped, man. I'm excited.
I know. I'm so excited. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to, like, play it cool right now.
We got to use every minute of today.
Yeah, we really
effectively.
Do.
Effectively. So the rule number one on the show is that the hero always plays by their own rules. There's, like, 19 heroes in this movie.
Yeah, and they all have to play by their own rules, in the sense that we all just need to beat Thanos.
Yep. You know? Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you, in the room. I guess you would have to say the hero of this movie is Robert Downey Jr. He is effectively the biggest hero.
Like, yeah.
He is leads the charge.
For sure.
Thanos is also the smartest guy in the room.
Thanos, in this movie, which has happened a few times over the course of this show, the villain is clearly the smartest person in this whole universe.
Yes.
He is the one that's figured out how to get the gauntlet made, get the stones. Like, he is on it.
He's the coolest. Rule number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. No, not really.
Well, isn't S.H.I.E.L.D.? Well, they're, like, not even really S.H.I.E.L.D. members anymore.
I don't even know what you'd call it.
Rule number four. That's a court-martial.
The movie contains a minimum of one explosion.
Many.
Tons of explosions.
So many explosions.
Lots of explosions. So, one last time, guys. This is a spoiler-filled episode. Turn it off if you don't want to have it spoiled. We're going to spoil fucking everything.
Everything.
I just dropped an F-bomb.
We're going to talk about
it. I apologize. I'm excited.
We were very excited. We're going to try to keep it as PG-13 as possible today. Probably not going to happen.
We just burned through our F-bomb. So.
Yeah, we get one.
Coming up on the show today, we have a conversation, Overly Sieged, Under Siege, or Properly Siege, Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun conversation. We have tons of AMA questions we're going to answer. We are going to bring back the Marina Verano explosion of emotion today and talk about the saddest moment in the film, because there's a lot of them.
There's so many.
Got to break that one down. And I say, before we do anything else, let's watch the trailer for the movie.
Oh, my God. One of the greatest trailers ever made.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is trailer one or trailer two.
But they're both awesome.
They're both awesome, yeah. Trailer two was, like, mind-blowing. This is trailer one. But this trailer was amazing.
This one has the sweet Thanos lines.
Yeah. Exactly.
I need to watch Ultron again so I can get exactly Spader's voice.
There was an idea.
Spader's voice.
To bring together a group of remarkable people.
God, this trailer's sweet.
To see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles.
That's not in the movie.
They never could.
Nope. Yeah, when I heard it in the theater the first time, that music right there.
Amped, right?
Oh, dude, goosebumps.
Yes.
Got so emotional.
Yeah, this movie made you feel the feel. Yeah.
You will know what it's like to lose.
You will know what it's like to
feel
lose.
So desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same.
I love that was, like, his first lines of the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And they didn't burn his cool lines.
Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
He's so awesome. He's amazing.
Evacuate the city.
Engage all defenses.
Oh man, when you see this in the trailer.
This man a shield.
Ah, God, yeah. So hype. So hype.
And somebody get Ben Bateman a shield. Get this man a shield.
Excuse me.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe.
When does he say the smile on my face line? I don't think he does. No, I think he does.
Put a smile on my face.
Guys in the chat, when does he say this does put a smile on my face? I was looking for it specifically the second time around and I couldn't find it. Hulk is not in the
there,
movie,
but he's in the trailer.
He lied to us. What a bunch of liars. How's that chat doing? People hyped? People are hyped, and I'm hyped to have everyone in there. You know, we got like 30 plus people in there. It makes sense because we're at a later time, and the link was up late. We apologize for that.
Let's get people in the chat,
and let's talk about this movie.
Let's talk about the movie. So, it's a sweet trailer. Have you seen all the people online?
He doesn't say it.
What?
In the movie?
Yeah.
He doesn't say it?
All right. Have you seen all the things online about people being like, Thanos is hot. Thanos is thick with two C's.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Got to protect and attack him.
Calling Thanos thick with two C's is one of the funniest things I've seen.
It's pretty sweet.
There's also conversations about the Lost in Space robot being thick.
Have you seen that too?
People have just been saying, I'm getting old now.
Yeah.
So like the other day, because there's like that attack and protect thing that's out right now. Do you know anything about this?
Nope.
Yeah, same. I don't either.
What is it?
It's like a thing that you say for someone you care about. It's like, we will protect Ben and attack anyone, but you spell it all weird.
Attack and protect?
Yeah, but I just don't get it.
Do you know what a stan is? Like, your number one stan?
No.
You don't know what it is?
No.
I'm not going to tell you.
We figured out what a honey thought trap was the other day.
No.
What was it called?
Art Ford told us a thirst trap.
Yeah, so we're old.
Yeah.
I think is basically what the name of this segment is called. Why did you start asking me this?
Because Thanos is thick.
Everybody knows that Thanos is thick. He is very thick.
Yeah, he's attractive. He's an attractive Skrull.
Kree.
He's an attractive purple man.
He's a Kree, right?
No.
Member of the Kree army?
No.
I think he is.
Is he Kree?
I think he's Kree. Maybe.
On
the
Titan?
Chat probably knows. I thought he was Kree. A member of the... Maybe? I thought
Kree was the blue guy.
Ronan.
Yeah.
Maybe not, so maybe Thanos is not.
He's not a Titan. Skrull.
No.
Okay, I guess he's none of those things.
All right, let's not... Ben and I... Actually, you know a lot about comics. I know very little about comics. But what we will do is we're not going to talk about...
Comic books?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the movie.
We're going to talk about the movie.
Yeah, that's the point. So we're going to get into our first segment of the show. This is called Thesis Statement. This is where you reveal your biggest, boldest thought. The thing that you would bring up if this movie comes up in conversation and you would defend all throughout. I'm just going to jump in first.
Please do.
With mine, which I shared this after I saw the film. I think I tweeted this as well. This is the greatest cinematic achievement of my lifetime, this movie. I don't really know how you can say anything else than that if you're thinking about, like, thesis statements. And I know some people would look at me and say, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, so I'm going to cut you off, and I'm going to say that was actually my thesis statement.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised yours is the same. I didn't know that you were going to do the exact same one. And so I'm happy that it's the same so that we can both talk about what it is about this movie. It's not the greatest movie that's ever come out in my life.
No.
But the achievement that they did, the amount of money that went into this, the production. So please continue your thought. I'm just excited.
Everything that had to be assembled to make this movie happen the way that it did. And then for it to be as good as it was, for it to be as satisfying as it is, for it just to work. And then you kind of go back, and guys, if you're listening or watching, you probably know that the last few weeks, Andrew and I have covered a bunch of MCU movies. We did Civil War a couple weeks ago. We did Iron Man last week. And Tony. But basically, you know, if you really think about where these actors were when the franchise started, you think about the idea of, like, building something. Okay, 10 years, you know, let's say you have investment money. I'm going to build a brand in 10 years. I'm going to launch a product, or I'm going to do something. I'm going to invest my money in a certain way.
Yeah.
You look at what's happened to the careers of the people involved, to the value of the characters, to the value of Marvel as a studio. I mean, everything. Disney buying Marvel for whatever they bought it, $4 billion, I think, when they bought it, or $6 billion or something.
Yeah.
The property, like, buying it and turning these actors into what they are now, these global icons. It's like, what Chris Evans would have gotten paid to be in a movie in 2008 versus what Chris Evans is going to get paid to be in a movie in 2018 is they took farm system baseball players and they turned them into 10-year contract guys. We've never seen anything like it.
You've never seen anything like this. We've never seen a movies with a budget, a combined budget of $1 billion ever. We've never seen 20 A-list actors on set at the same time in the same movie, all acting well.
Yeah.
That is the other thing about this, is that's beyond me in when watching the movie that I really enjoyed, was that one of the greatest things about the MCU is the casting.
Yeah.
It's not just the way that they look. It's the fact that every single one of these people are great actors.
Yeah.
And in these movies, they have showcased their incredible acting ability. Look at Gamora, Zoe Saldana. Like, when did she ever do anything like this in her career before?
Yeah.
You know, Chris Hemsworth in this movie, he's shown that Thor is, like, the most interesting Avenger, like, emotionally, you know? And,
right.
Like, it's just incredible to think about the planning and, like, I'm thinking of a master plan. It's like 10 years Kevin Feige built this together.
Right, and then you start to think about putting together, you know, all the movies leading up to this movie, but then when you actually have to make Infinity War, right? Like, you're going to spend this money and you're going to make this thing happen. It's going to be a superhero movie that's 2.5 hours long, and it's only part one of a two-part thing. Every character in this movie, every moment, felt like, great, like, I got my 4 minutes of Mantis, and it didn't feel like trying to make her important.
Nothing felt forced.
It was like, okay, I got Scarlet Witch being more important in this movie, but it wasn't like Scarlet Witch in Age of Ultron, where she felt like an actual, like a souvenir of watching the movie.
Yes, she was
like a relevant character. Everybody had their moment. Even like Falcon, who's barely in the movie, barely does anything, like, he was doing his thing. Like,
he felt necessary when he was there. You know, I was stoked to see him pop in
right
in that moment in the train station or whatever. It was cool.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you want to go and you talk about the money, look at how much money this movie made. And of course it did, but, like, excuse me, breaking every record ever, basically, like, for openings.
So almost.
The only record it didn't break for opening is beating The Fate of the Furious worldwide.
The international
That's
one.
That's the only thing.
So check this out, guys, and I tweeted this again, so some of you guys follow me on Twitter, but maybe not.
I don't follow you on Twitter.
In 4 days, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this movie made $630 million worldwide. That is more money than all but 125 films in the history of the world have ever made in their entire theatrical run. This movie made it in 4 days. This is the 126th highest grossing film ever as of Sunday. As of 4 days.
As of 4 days of it being out.
Yeah, and every day it's going to pass four more movies. I mean, when all is said and done, if this is not the highest grossing film of all time, I'll be shocked. Maybe it slows down, but it's so good and the word of mouth is going to be so great.
I've seen it twice.
Me too.
I'm going to see it again, probably, with my movie pass. And the other thing that I love is that, you know, Joe Russo, and forgive me because I am going to butcher this a little bit because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he was asked about making this movie, and he was like, audiences are going to tell you what they want and what to do. And if you listen to them and make movies that you want, they're going to get bored. People will tell you that they love chocolate ice cream. But if you give them chocolate ice cream, in a few days, they're going to get bored of it, tired of it. They're going to get angry with you.
Yep.
So you've always got to stay ahead of your audience. And I can't think of a movie that in the Marvel Universe, other than Logan, but it's not in the MCU,
yep,
you know, that plays by its own rules like this movie did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Crazy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great thesis statements out there, guys. I'd love to read them all, but we're just going to keep moving because we have so much to talk about today.
And the next part of the show is the sweet part of the show.
Yes, this is
fist pump moment. So this is that moment when you're watching the movie, something happens, you look around, you're like, are you seeing this right now? You have a literal, yes, I get to watch the rest of this movie. Even this if you're, is so great.
Even if you're by yourself in the theater, you're just like, look around, you're like, anybody want to be my friend?
I don't have that many usually in my life anymore that are like aggressive, like, yes,
yeah,
and this movie
there's a bunch,
so I think let's just trade off a couple. I think my first one, and it was just by sheer excitement of seeing the movie, because I saw this with our buddy Matt, who was the second AD on the movie.
Yeah, you saw it a day before me.
I got to go to the crew screening last week, and so it was all people that had worked on the movie.
The crew screening. It was just him, Matt, and Tom Cruise. It's the worst thing for me to miss.
And everybody was cheering. When you see, it gets eerie in the train station for a second, and you see the silhouette of Evans, and you see,
you can tell he has a beard,
and they throw the spear, and he catches it.
Yeah.
That was a total just like, yes!
Yeah.
Yes! Captain America's in this movie. I'm so excited.
That was a huge fist pump for me. Dude, I had a fist pump like a minute into the movie when Hulk comes out and just starts beating the shit out of Thanos, but then.
Yeah.
Thanos, you see him. This is the first time you've seen him.
Yeah.
This is the first time you've really seen. You've seen him put the thing against Thor's, you know, the gauntlet against his face, but it's nothing like this. The guy's like, no, let him have his fun or whatever. That guy.
Yeah.
That guy's great, by the way. The telekinetic guy. He was really good.
Yeah.
He beats the shit out of Hulk.
Yeah.
And it's not like by just using the power of the gauntlet. He's like a really sweet fighter.
He's like strong.
Yeah. And like, he's like agile. And like, so watching that, I was like,
well, because at that point, he's got the Power Stone, right?
Yeah, he's got the Power Stone.
So that's probably how he's able to take on Hulk like
that. Exactly. And then, honestly, dude, I fist pumped when he killed Loki.
Yeah.
Not because honestly, the dude came full circle with me.
Yeah.
He finally came back around, especially with Ragnarok. But when he killed him, I was like, oh,
man. Like, it's getting real.
This is the kind of movie we're going to watch.
Yeah.
It's not like he dies off in space. It's he gets choked to death intimately, and then his neck breaks in front of his brother 5 minutes into the movie.
I think like one of the things about this movie that I thought was so cool is like when you imagine making something that feels epic, that you go into a theater knowing you're going to watch, expecting it to make you feel a certain way, you know, the chances you're willing to take with the kind of dialogue you're going to write, and even just the way the script looks when you first open it up, you know, the first line of the movie, right, is the very first line of the movie is you hear that telekinetic guy. And he's like, hear ye, hear ye. You have been, you know, and it's all burning and you're like, oh, this is like weird, but cool, but creepy, but like the dialogue's great.
The dialogue that guy, it's amazing.
And he's like, you've been granted death at by the children of Thanos.
It's mercy. You know, like the way, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy was, and also to speak on the other half of that, you ever see that really old movie, Aliens?
Yeah, right.
You know, and then when that guy gets sucked, because like, what? You're like, how are they ever going to beat this guy?
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's so powerful, but that was a fist pump for me too, was watching him just die, because I was like, this guy needs to go.
There's like, there's so much to talk about this movie, but like, I love when movies make you feel like I've said this before about what it looks like, but also the way that certain lines sound or are spoken or are put into the movie, like, you hear them and you're like, this runs the risk. It's tiptoeing around being like trying too hard and being really corny, but it works.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to be willing to take those chances.
Well, that's just, it's like the Lord of the Rings effect. It's like, if you want, you can take a step back and be like, lame.
Yeah, right.
You know, fairies, you know, but like, if you get into it, it's incredible.
Even though you loved it in middle school, you totally beat kids up and did that.
Oh, no, I loved Lord of the Rings.
Were on the football team.
I was. Really quickly, El Biborizio and Darkseid Saint. First of all, welcome to the chat. I don't think I've seen you guys before, so thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
They both are letting us know that Thanos didn't even have to use the Power Stone to beat Hulk's ass. Verbatim. Because it never lights up, he never closes his gauntlet, and that's why Hulk never shows up for the whole movie.
Interesting, because he gets his ass.
He gets his ass. He's completely emasculated, embarrassed.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's the real thing, but I like the fan theory. So thank you guys so much for throwing that in there.
Do you want to do any more fist pumps?
Yeah, let's just keep going.
So those were like, that was a huge one for me.
Yeah.
When Thor shows back up after he gets Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker.
is amazing.
That's a pretty amazing moment.
Yeah.
That's a pretty amazing moment. And then my probably my third, because I know that was one of your huge ones, the Thor.
Yeah, I love Stormbreaker moment.
That moment was incredible.
Everyone in the whole theater cheered.
I was having like a total, like I started like tearing up and like fists were just like when Scarlet Witch is trying to get the stone out of Vision's head.
So good.
While at the same time, Steve Rogers is holding the Thanos gauntlet. I'm getting like chills even just thinking about it.
Yeah.
He's my favorite Avenger. It was so cool in the trailer, and it was just done so well. And, like, you can even see the look on Thanos' face as he's holding it, where Thanos is like, how is this dude holding my fist?
Yeah, he's kind of like, I love that he's not, like, challenged by it. He's, like, impressed by it, or, like, quizzical. You know, he's so good. Okay, so you and I talked about this. What's her name? The Tony's computer now?
Friday.
Friday, and I need a little more juice. That is so sweet.
Yeah.
And his suit in general is amazing.
So sweet, yeah.
But actually, Spider-Man's legs, for a person that hates spiders, I detest spiders. Yeah. Like, I almost don't even like the legs. But the first time they come out
and
on
they
the
save
ship,
him. Yeah.
I was like, oh,
yeah.
That is so awesome. And they come up numerous times throughout the movie. I think Spider-Man's suit was like one of my favorite things in the whole movie.
It was super awesome. Can you imagine being like 8 and seeing this movie?
Oh.
I feel like I can't
because we got like Batman gadgets.
Yeah,
this the original Batman
gadgets.
This
is, I think, to like an 8-year-old today, what seeing The Matrix the first time was probably like for us. Like, dude, it's the kind of, like, what's your favorite movie? The Matrix, obviously.
When I watched Batman for the first time, I still can remember very vividly that little bomb coming off the front of the car and dropping.
Yeah, right.
And I used to think how cool that was.
Yeah, right. As a gadget.
As a gadget. And then, honestly, I think, because we could just keep going on this forever, but I think my other fist pump moment is when Thanos reverses time and just, like, pops Vision.
Yeah.
Because, like, it just wasn't really a fist pump moment, but it was just, like, this... It was one of those things where I looked around, like, this guy is all powerful.
He can do anything.
So, yeah. Those are mine. Those are yours.
The voice of Friday is interesting. So, originally, obviously, the voice of Jarvis was played by Paul Bettany, who becomes Vision. So then the voice of Friday is played by Carrie Condon, who she's a character in Better Call Saul. She's in something else that just came out that I think is, like, significant. She's, like, a significant actress.
Yeah.
She's not...
Yeah, I recognize her voice.
Yeah, she's not, like, massively famous or anything like that, but she, like, works and she does a bunch of stuff. And if you have a role in the MCU, it makes me feel like you probably are destined for great things. So Carrie Condon is somebody to keep your eyes open for, or, you know, on Shmodown we'll probably get asked about that at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's going to be the fist pump moments we are going to go with. I suggest we continue moving through the show.
Yes, sir.
Get through everything. I think this was a good decision on your part to include these as our two, because obviously last week we did Evans and
Downey.
And Downey.
So this week we did Hemsworth and Brolin, and we're going to start with Brolin here. Which is funny, because Brolin actually feels like the lead character of this movie, other than Tony. He's in it the most, but he was actually on set the least out of everybody, because most of his work was CG and VO.
Yeah.
But so, anyway, he did Hail Caesar in 2016, Only the Brave in 2017, which I finally just watched 2 days ago, and The Legacy of the White-Tailed Deer Hunter, which I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's listed as 2018, so maybe it's not out yet, or maybe it's a festival movie that hasn't opened wide yet, but I didn't see it. I did see Only the Brave and Hail Caesar. I liked Only the Brave a lot. I didn't love Hail Caesar. I thought it kind of sucked.
So I haven't watched that yet, and I don't really have any desire to. The Coen brothers are weird, man. They're so hit or miss.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they've done 10 really good movies, and they've done 10 pretty mediocre movies, and that's kind of the nature of the beast. I mean, I wouldn't say that Hail Caesar was unwatchable. It was fine. Channing Tatum has a really good dance number.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Oh, really quickly, Jay snowed on. Why was she up there the whole time?
Yeah.
That's like one of the best parts. That was definitely a fist pump when she comes out and just crushes
just all
that
shit. You just had so many like good moments, good lines from all the different characters.
Paul Bettany's wife is
Carrie Condon?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
which
that.
Which I think is so interesting.
That is really interesting.
It's really cool. It's like, you want to take my job?
Yeah, right.
I got promoted.
It's even funnier too, because we talked about this last week with Iron Man, that like it's not like Paul Bettany, like, I'm sure they had the plan, but like it wasn't a guarantee that was ever going to happen.
Right. It wasn't like, if you're this voice, you're going to be in the Infinity War in 10 years.
Yeah, right.
And then the other side of that, you got Chris Hemsworth, who was in Ghostbusters in 2016 playing Kevin, I believe. Very funny. He was. I don't know about the
handsome
movie.
And funny.
Thor Ragnarok, 2017, the best Thor movie in my opinion, and 12 Strong, which I haven't seen yet. That's the Horse Soldiers.
The Horse Soldiers
Did
movie?
You watch that?
No. It's got Michael Pena, William Finchner.
I heard it has some pretty good moments.
Yes.
Which I would believe.
Yeah, I think it's probably... It's like a strange place that Chris Hemsworth currently exists in his career, because he's like... That's exactly, like, not the kind of movie that I would have expected him to decide to make height of his fame. Really?
Yeah, you figure it's a movie that he would have done after the first Thor.
It feels like it should be starring Charlie Hunnam.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
He's like, this is the movie about the horse soldiers.
Mako.
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 Which one is it? Jaeger pilots were like rock stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So, but yes, Hemsworth, as we have all talked about, pretty much came out of nowhere and was Thor in 2011. That was basically what his career was.
Yeah.
He had been in like a couple things, but his career since then has been like...
Incredible.
Rush. Well, kind of. I mean, Rush is awesome, and he's, you know, 12 strong.
Black Hat,
right. I mean, you can't really actually name that many movies that he's done. He's like done a bunch of MCU movies, but he's funny. He doesn't take himself that seriously, which is great.
And he's actually a very good actor.
I will
definitely give him that. So before we get into this next conversation, I do want to say really quickly, we have a couple of places that you can find us. You guys can find us online at Facebook. We have our Action Movie Anatomy fan page where you can follow the show directly. Most of the news and all action conversation, including the AMA Battle Royale, is on that. And if you don't know what that is, the AMA Battle Royale is where we, I'm going to go over here, Marissa, where we, our fans, yeah, I pulled that out of your book. The fans, Richard Eric Jarvie and Paul DiNuzio, are running a poll. And basically what it is they're pitting up all the movies we've ever done on the show against each other to figure out what the greatest movie ever done on Action Movie Anatomy was. And when that poll is done, we are going to cover it again on the show. So go and find that Action Movie Anatomy fan page, find the AMA Battle Royale, vote, and figure out what movie we're going to do again. And also, the last thing that I'm going to plug before we get into Over Under Properly Rated is...
Patreon. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/teamaction. So if you guys are wondering what the hell is your Patreon about, well, it's about this. We do extra content every single week for you guys. Whoever wants to watch it, Andrew and I go and tape it outside of here. And it's about 10 or 12 minutes long. We put up one a week, and you get access to it if you are a member of the Patreon. That requires nothing other than a donation of $1 per month. You can donate as much as you want, and if you donate higher levels, you can do things like submit top five lists to us that we will then review and critique on that content. Sometimes you can suggest movies for us to do on Action Movie Anatomy. That's happened at a higher level. You can call into the show. Richard Eric Jarvie and Paul DiNuzio did that. There's a bunch of cool options. Check it out. Patreon.com/teamaction. Every single month at the end of the month, some of the subscriptions lapse, so go check it out today. Even if you were previously a donator, we will shout you out on the show, and we are so appreciative of every one of you guys that has helped us do it, because you know, we love doing the show and we love doing content, and it's how we will continue to do it, is if you guys want to help us do that. So yeah. patreon.com/teamaction. Thank you so much, guys.
And to clarify, Carrie Condon is Friday. Jennifer Connelly is Paul Bettany's wife. I don't know how we all got that mixed up, but moving on.
God damn it.
Moving on. So this is going to be an interesting conversation because he's kind of on top of the world right now. So it's really going to be whether or not you think he deserves to be there or not. So we are going to discuss whether or not we think Josh Brolin is over-sieged, under-sieged, or properly sieged.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I have to... Yeah, that's a hard question to answer, right?
It is really hard because, like,
prior to Thanos, I would have easily said underrated. It would have seemed like he totally was underrated. It's a guy his age, doing the work that he's doing. He's been great for a long time. He keeps just doing great work in everything he's in. He's one of those.
But he's just always he's always a home run hitter.
Yeah, but Thanos is thick. So what
Thanos is thick.
What do you do?
I mean, I honestly. It's tough, because so here's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm like, this guy is Thanos in the biggest cinematic
event ever.
Uh-huh. You know, he's the main villain in it. He's also Cable this year in Deadpool 2, which looks awesome and has got this huge fan following behind it. And he's also in Sicario 2, a movie that didn't need to be made, but it was just made because Benicio was so sweet in the first one, essentially.
And Brolin's really good in it. I can't wait for that movie.
So he's got these three movies coming out, and, like, did he really need to be a villain twice in the same year, in the same universe? And did he need to be in a sequel that didn't, you know, but Taylor's coming back? So these are all the thoughts that go through my mind, right, when trying to figure it out. And I can't help but just say he's properly rated. Like, I feel like this dude deserves it. He's been acting my whole life.
Right.
Longer than I've been alive, right?
I mean, Newsies, that's, like, kind of, or not Newsies.
Goonies,
yeah.
Yeah. 86, 87?
Yeah, late 87,
so it's like,
maybe.
He's been acting longer than I've been alive. And everything that he's done, for the most part, he's always good.
Yeah.
whether the movie's good or not, he is awesome.
The funny part is that if you go back and you look at that and you say, like, okay, so he did that, that's 20 years before he got his, like, actual break. He had been, like, a working actor his whole career, you know? Like, he had been in stuff forever, and then it's really not until No Country for Old Men that the, like, A-list Oscar-nominated version of Josh Brolin actually breaks through. Right? Like,
what's that? I'm sorry.
I said he'd been acting his whole life. Like, yeah. All that stuff in the 80s and 90s. He had a bit part actor. He had shown up in all kinds of stuff. He had had roles that mattered. But it wasn't until No Country, really until 2007, that he gets his, like, I'm an actual star moment. Right? And then it's Milk, and it's all these movies that show up over the last 10 years.
For sure.
It's his last decade that's, like, his defining decade.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and for me, it was No Country and Milk that, like, I was like, this guy is insane. And it's so interesting because even in No Country, he is so good at just being a role without ever trying too hard. And I think that's what makes him so great in Sicario. Is like,
yeah,
imagine someone else playing that role. They would have been big and pompous and like,
yeah,
but he's just like, matter of fact.
Doesn't care.
Not
yeah
at all, you know? And I think that he really, in especially in No Country, he does that as well. So,
Llewellyn, what's in the satchel?
It's full of money.
Full of money. Take you in the back and screw you.
Yeah.
You didn't say what you think. That's actually not from a movie.
I think my answer to the question.
Oh,
is,
Jonah Hex. There's always a misstep.
Doesn't matter. And he played George W. Bush in W, the Oliver Stone one.
Oh, was that bad?
That's bad.
Was he bad?
He's fine. I mean, he's been in bad movies.
Oh,
it's not like he's only
has
made
yeah
wins.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Labor Day. Let's not forget Labor Day.
Okay, first of all, Labor Day is a phenomenal film.
It's a beautiful film. What's Chocolat? It's a beautiful film.
It's a beautiful film.
So,
Chocolate.
I think he's probably underrated still.
Under?
Well, I just...
Okay.
I think we love Josh Brolin. I think we really love Josh Brolin. And I think we're talking about Josh Brolin a lot right now because of Thanos.
Yeah.
But I think flashback, I don't know, to 6 months ago before we had seen the trailer, before the first trailer of this movie had even premiered.
And let's go a year back. Before he'd been announced as Cable and before this first trailer had ever came out.
Right. You're talking about, at that point, a guy who had, like, only The Brave. No one saw that movie.
Yeah, and Sicario hadn't been announced. Sicario 2 hadn't been announced yet either. So all we had on the docket for Brolin was that he was going to be Thanos in this Avengers movie.
I think it had been announced, but there was no trailer yet. So people
for Sicario 2?
Yeah, people didn't care about it.
Okay.
Though. So it was like, it was kind of like, okay, so you're making a sequel to make some money, and you're bringing this guy back, but you're not bringing back Emily Blunt. Like, I think a year ago, it was an easy, easy, easy answer. Underrated.
Yeah.
I think today, it's a harder answer, because he's so damn good as Thanos. But I would still say underrated, because I don't think the world is reacting to him in this role with anywhere near the veracity that we are. I think we love it, and we are obsessed with him.
Right, because I walked out, and I was like, I could see him getting a supporting actor nod.
Yeah. Yeah, if Patrick Stewart didn't get one for Logan, I don't know how
he's
going to get
way
one
it's
for
happen,
Thanos.
No. So I have a question for you here. We've got 25 minutes left of the show.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of AMA questions to go through, and it's basically all the chat is people just speculating things that are happening with deaths and people coming back and all that.
Yeah.
We've got a good amount of production and money to get through. What do you want to do?
Let's breeze through it, and
okay.
we'll get through it. So
okay.
I do, because we didn't talk about it for Civil War, let's talk about Christopher Markus and Stephen McFeely really quickly.
Yeah,
so
sure.
The deal with those guys is they got their break with a TV thing called The Life and Death of Peter Sellers back in 2004. Okay, these guys were like 32, 33 years old. Maybe not even. They were like 30.
Right.
It's a writing team. And they got this thing, and it got Emmy nominated, and they won a primetime Emmy for outstanding writing. And after that, they were given... basically, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a franchise. They were given the Captain America movies. They were given Thor, the Dark World. They created Agent Carter. Like, they're 44 and 45. They
savages.
They got this gig when they were 30. They're our age. This, like, writing duo, and they've written literally everything together. These guys are crushing it. I mean, not to say that, like, Dark World's a good movie, because it's not. And, like, those Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movies are mostly pretty bad.
But they also wrote Civil War.
Yep.
And they wrote this, and they're going to write the next one.
And your writing is not always showcased exactly in the movie to the final product. So
no.
if you're able to handle movies that make money, you continue getting opportunities. And these guys are set for life. The fact that it's a writing duo that are in their mid-40s, and that's where they started, and they just came out of nowhere... crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the Russo brothers too, honestly.
Yeah,
like they just kind of came out of nowhere. They got given Captain America the Winter Soldier, and then they did Civil War and Infinity War, and now they are without a doubt two of the biggest, hottest directors in the world.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
ever.
I mean, you know, after their stellar work on Yumi and Dupree, you know, as well as, they worked on Arrested Development. So, yeah. And they have comedy chops, which is funny. I was watching...
which is so evident in the movie.
So I was watching the Vanity Fair behind the scenes Anatomy of a Scene thing you can go watch, which is cool. You should check it out. They talk about the scene where the Guardians meet Thor. And they start breaking down the scene, right? And they're like, so check this out. They're like, okay, so, you know, Rocket makes a joke, and we hold on the reaction, and then we just pan over to Star-Lord's reaction. And they're like, so this creates a more real-time comedy beat than cutting and going to the reaction. It's like, it's something you would see on Arrested all the time. We would do, and he's like,
And you just pan. It's like Jim in the office. It's like someone's happening here, and you just look over, and there's Jim in the corner. It's like,
So I think that's so cool that, like, they have the comedy chops, which is why they're able to make this movie, I think, work the way it does.
Yeah, and it is so funny. And and the comedy, what's so great about this is, like, a lot of times in these Marvel movies and Captain America, all of them, the comedy is just in there to be funny. Because it's like, who doesn't like to laugh? The comedy in this movie was so necessary to bring levity to the film throughout these deep, dark, depressing moments that, like, the comedy in this didn't feel at all like it does in the other movies. It just felt like so necessary.
Yeah.
But it was very funny. So getting into money, we're not going to talk about Kevin Feige. He is the god behind Marvel, unless you want to just touch on it really quick.
He masterminded this whole thing. He worked basically under Avi Arad before the MCU launched. He masterminded the whole thing. He's the guy that's responsible for Wolverine's high-sitting hair and X-Men. He basically had a vision of what he wanted to do, and he executed it. And he's going to continue to execute it. There are now rumors that he may leave the MCU, go run Star Wars, but it's probably not going to happen.
He will be
on board with the MCU and probably take us into Phase 4 as we get into some crazy, crazy, crazy nonsense.
This is the end of Phase 3, right?
Yeah.
And in Infinity War 2, whatever that's going to be called, is in Phase 4, correct?
That will be the end of Phase 3.
That's the end of it. Okay, so they're both in Phase 3.
Phase 4 will be the post Infinity War. So everything, I think, unless I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Ant-Man and the Wasp, Black Panther 2 will probably come in Phase 4, but Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and the next Infinity movie. So the first 22 films will all be in Phase 1.
Gotcha.
That's what I think.
All right, guys. So this was distributed by Buena Vista. It cost $321 million before marketing to make just the first Infinity War. The other half of it is going to take up the additional $600-plus million to make a grand total of $1 billion for the two films. It opened April 27th, which was last week. It grossed $257 million domestically, an additional $382 foreign, for a grand total of $640. Did you say it was $643?
I think it said 630, but 640 was
$640 million. This is the number one worldwide opening, the single Saturday record, single Sunday, weekend domestic, three-day gross, PG-13 opening, the fastest to 150, 200, and 250 million, and I honestly think it will be the most successful movie of all time.
It'll break $1 billion by next weekend, I would think.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
To think that a movie will make $1 billion in a week.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So this movie is rated 9.0 on IMDb, making it the 9th best film ever made. Ben Bateman, you and I both said that this was the greatest achievement in cinematic, or the greatest...
Okay, yeah.
Oh, so, it's at 800 plus million now. Thank you so much,
I mean,
Marissa.
At the time we made this outline in the last 48 hours.
It's made another $200 million, which makes sense. You and I both think this is the greatest achievement in filmmaking since we've been alive. Is it a 9 on IMDb's top 250?
That's always so hard because the idea of commending something for what it's achieved versus the quality of the movie. And the quality of the movie is extraordinarily high, but
incredibly,
it is still a blockbuster tentpole that is heavily reliant on investment in the first 18 movies. I mean, you can't watch this movie without any knowledge of the first movies and be affected in the way that we were.
No, you can't.
And that's a high investment. It's not like watching Return of the King and saying, watch the first two movies.
Right.
Watch the first
18
movies.
It'll take you 4 or 5 hours and you'll be caught up, whereas this is like a lot.
It's a commitment. And you also have to watch some bad movies if you want to have total context.
Yeah, there's this guy on Funny or Die. He does a thing where he goes and watches a movie 5 times in a row, back to back to back to back to back. And he did it for Infinity War, and he'd never seen the other movies. And even, you know, he's obviously doing it for comedy, but even just in his initial review, you can just tell he just doesn't get it. He doesn't even know who these people are.
It's not the 9th greatest film of all time. It's probably not a 9.0. You're looking at the Rotten Tomatoes scores here, and you know, all critics, 84%, 73% from top critics, and 93% from the audience. I think this is it's too difficult of a movie to evaluate properly immediately.
I can see it as an 8.4 and being in like the top 150.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right. So guys, moving on to favorite line. I know exactly what my favorite line is. I'm going to hop in with it right away. It's not deep. It's not heartfelt. It's just,
I'm going to get that arm.
I laughed my ass off when he was like, how much for that gun? He's like, how much for the arm?
It's a sweet gun.
I'm going to get that arm.
Yeah, it was just, I just died laughing because everyone in the audience knew it was coming.
Right.
And it was one of those moments of like being an audience member in a movie and being like, I'm in on the joke.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah,
it was just excellent for me.
I think there was a ton of moments that I really, really loved. But I think my single favorite line in the whole movie, I think it's after Iron Man goes like ham on Thanos for a second on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
And he hits him and he leans down and Thanos looks up and he's like, all that for a drop of blood, And you're like, he's going to kill him. Like, there's no way Iron Man can beat him. None.
So you thought that Captain America was going to die. I thought that Iron Man was going to die.
They'll save him both deaths for the next movie.
Yeah. And when, because I saw it with Matt as well.
Yeah.
Our friend Matt and Jason have been on the show. Matt said that when Iron Man got stabbed, I went, oh.
Yeah. Well, because you can feel it coming once the fight starts going all that direction.
And, like, the amount of badass weaponry that Iron Man has, that, like, the boot that keeps the hand down, the thing that keeps the glove open, like, all this stuff is made specifically just to fight Thanos, even though which doesn't really make any sense because he's never...
Well, it's nanotech, so it's all being formed by his thoughts, basically.
Which was just... It was the coolest thing, and then you could just see that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then he breaks the thing, and he stabs him, and like, oh my God, I stopped. My heart stopped.
The problem with this is that we only have like 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I want to answer questions, and I want to talk about all the characters. And like, we haven't even mentioned Cumberbatch or like Doctor Strange yet. We haven't even mentioned how bad Peter Dinklage was. We haven't mentioned so many things. Peter Dinklage, like I was thinking today, like he's pretty much not even on screen with Hemsworth. So Hemsworth's like, I'm going to keep the thing open. And Peter Dinklage is like, it like cuts to his face and he's like, you think you can handle the strength, boy?
Boy, it can't hold much longer.
He was atrocious.
He was very
to
bad.
Me. Some people loved him out there.
My buddy was like, if he's been on this, he's like, this guy's been on the planet by himself for how long? His hands are metal. How's he wipe his ass?
Yeah, I thought that's like all I could think. I was like, how does this guy go to the bathroom? It's gotta be horrible. He's gotta smell horrible.
So favorite line I think for me is probably that. I also loved just a few minutes later after Tony's stabbed and Thanos looks at him and he's like, I hope they remember you. Because there's a really cool thing where he says Stark and he's like, you know me? And he's like, I too have been cursed by the burden of knowledge.
Yeah.
I think that's the line.
Something like that.
And
it's just the fact that he knows who he is.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Like, you're the champion of Earth. And they did a great job with that too, of like really trying to differentiate the fact that, you know, because we all know Downey and Iron Man, he's the headpiece of this whole franchise, but like, when Captain America shows up to the house and, you know, whatever, William Hurt's talking to Rhodey.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you here? And he's like, Earth just lost its best defender. We're here to fight. And it's like, Captain America.
If you get our way, we'll fight you too.
It's like Captain America acknowledging, like, Iron Man is the best defender. And he's not even saying it like he's better than me. He's saying it like, he still works for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you lost your official best defender. But the way that he says it, it's like, it gives the nod, which is like, Tony Stark is the guy.
Yeah.
The Iron Man is the most powerful.
Yeah, I love that. Like a pirate angel.
Yeah.
That's another good one. What else you guys got out there?
So Cap never saw Iron Man, right? They still haven't seen each other.
No, they never see each other in the whole movie.
So their moment, next movie, is going to be emotional.
It's going to be so... It's one of them's going to be dying, I bet, when it happens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right.
I can't wait for the next movie.
I know, dude. I'm dying. The fact we have to wait a year. The fact that our friend Matt has known what's going to happen in both these movies for over 2 years and has never said anything to us is beyond impressive.
Did you watch any of the... I saw a supercut of the press tours, all the different press tours of Cumberbatch and Holland together.
No.
And Holland continuing to try to spoil things. And Cumberbatch... Holland be like, well, there was this... And I'm like, oh, nope. Stop talking.
Oh,
nope.
Benedict kept doing that?
They're like, they pair them now, and Cumberbatch like is there to prevent him from spoiling the movie. And then did you see the thing about Ruffalo?
No.
Ruffalo a year ago is in an interview with Cheadle, and they say something to him like, you know, what can you tell us about this next movie? And he's like, oh, this next one's going to feel, you know, totally different at the end of this one. You know, it's not like all the other Avengers movies. You know, the bad guys win. And he's like,
oh, he says that.
No, that's not all. And Cheadle goes, and he goes, yeah. And he's like, anyway, you'll love this next one. Everyone dies at the end. And Cheadle's like, he's like, am I going to get in trouble for saying that? And he's like, I don't know. Let's just move on. And like,
I don't know. That's why you didn't become Hulk at all in this movie.
And it's like kind of a joke.
Right.
And they try to make it a joke. And clearly no one picked up on it because like it seemed so outlandish. But he just like gives away the ending of the movie.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to hop in here first with our
good friend Nathan Geisenberg. Do you think all the deaths that happened pre
snap
are final?
The only
yes, the short answer is yes.
Yeah, it would ruin everything. The only one that I think is they're going to attempt to make not final, and it should be noted, like, okay, so Vision dies after the snap.
Yes.
Right?
No, no, no. No, because he has to have Vision Stone.
Oh, he rewinds the time.
He rewinds, yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then he steals the stone. So I think that Vision's death isn't final in the sense that I think they'll be able to bring Vision back. Like, I think the personality of Vision will be able to come back. And I think that Thanos is going to try to resurrect Gamora.
With the Soul Stone. Well, so there's a theory out there that her soul's caught in the Soul Stone, and then whenever blah, 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 she'll come back to life.
I think she's the one that it's going to... I think trying to resurrect her will be his undoing. That's what I think.
That's interesting. I'm okay with that. I think, since I don't know anything, and I'm just a movie watcher, I think that they all are final, and they need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that if you bring back anyone, especially Gamora, it destroys this movie. That is the most impactful moment in this whole movie. Her line, that was one of my favorite lines too, was my whole life, all I've ever wanted is for you to get what you deserve. And then he kills her.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. And it has to, it gives stakes to the second movie. So if they bring her back, I feel like it just all becomes magic, fairy, poofy dust, and it just ruins it.
Hags was telling me that basically on set that day, that it was a really tragic day, and everybody and people were crying, and it was kind of this really emotional day because it was her final day. And that they had him built on this big platform so that, you know, he could be above her and bigger than her because he has to be.
Right.
And that he's like dragging her, you know, that he's dragging her, and that like they're all kind of like, what, how, you know, how does he kill her? And somebody's just like, he should just throw her over the edge. Like, that's what he would do. He wouldn't he would just toss her. And he was like, that set was amazing. It was like, you know, platform set. So it's sort of.
Yeah, that's so cool. I will say this. I saw Zoe Saldana's Instagram today, and she was in her, what are those things called? The motion mocap things. And she was waiting to get called to set. So that, I don't know what it's for, because they're not filming Infinity War right now. They're not working on the second one. Reshoots, Matt would be there. Yet. No. But it was mocap, and she did talk about Infinity War making 600 plus million. So I don't know what that was. I'm sure she'll show up in the second movie at some point. I don't know how, and I hope she's not alive. Next, Sarah Collins. What do you predict will happen in the second movie? How will the original Avengers regroup to beat Thanos? So you just said that you think his undoing will be bringing Gamora back to life.
Yeah, I also had heard that there's time will have passed, and the Avengers will have like rebooted a little bit after the events of the last movie. So I don't think that the... I don't know, but based on that, and I can't remember where I heard that, if I heard it in like an interview, I think maybe one of the writers said it or something like that. But I don't know that it's going to pick up immediately after. There's a part of me that actually thinks that maybe time will have passed and they'll things will have settled, but I don't know how that's possible, because I'm like, I mean, how did Tony and Nebula get to
back
Earth?
To Earth? I mean, I guess Nebula will probably be able to crash
her ship.
Yeah, into Thanos, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know how they're going to get back. I mean, Tony was stabbed.
Yeah, he was stabbed and he like repaired himself with nanotech, but like, I was just like, how did you not die? That was a big, big sword.
Yeah.
Honestly, Sarah Collins, I have no idea. I don't. Because, like, watching the movie, the only moment where it felt like... Well, and I also knew it wasn't going to happen, but the only moment where it felt like Thanos could be defeated was when they were about to pull the glove off of him.
Yeah.
And you knew that Quill was going to knock him out of his trance.
Of course.
He had to. So, I don't know. I guess we'll find out in a year.
I love that they make... Like, I remember watching the first Guardians. I remember at the time they made the first Guardians, it was this big deal that Pratt had gotten like shredded and
right.
like super lean.
Oh my God, when they make fun of him getting fatter, I died.
And I remember I was at Disneyland this last year. I went to California Adventure, and they changed the Tower of Terror into the Guardians of the Galaxy Tower of Terror.
Right.
And there's like a promo video that you see like them on the screen. And I remember watching it and saying to who I was with, like, it's funny, like, they filmed this and he clearly has gained weight and like wasn't prepared to shoot this. I was like, you can just see it in his face. And she was like, yeah, and like, it's funny watching this movie. He does look
he
like
put on weight again.
Yeah, he looks like he, not a ton.
Oh.
He's still like a fit
he's
guy.
He's not. They wouldn't have showed the how was it, Marissa?
Yes, I've been on that ride. It's terrifying.
Yeah, terrifying. That's good. Do you, I mean, they wouldn't have showed him the shirtless scene like they did in the first one.
No, no. Yeah. I'm sure he's still like muscular and in good shape. Yeah. And Hags told us, he's a fit guy.
Of course.
But it's like funny that they make fun of him for it.
Yeah, when he's like.
Yeah.
I died.
Rocket's like, ah, who are you kidding? You're one sandwich away from fat.
So good. All right, let's see. We got Sarah. We got Nathan. Chris Ang. What team up in this movie was your favorite or excited you? And given the end of the movie with the characters we have left, what team up from that lineup do you look forward to seeing?
Well, I loved all the new combinations. So, like,
favorite is Rocket and Thor.
Yeah,
their moment on the ship was just amazing.
Yeah, that was a really great moment. It's like it gives such depth to Hemsworth and to the character, because you're like, if you think about all the characters in the MCU and everyone we've watched, you're talking about the character who has lost the most, and he's a god.
Yep.
He's sitting there being like, well, I lost my dad, my stepsister, you know, killed him, and a dark elf killed my mother.
And then I had to kill her to save the planet.
And then my best friend was stabbed through the heart. And my girlfriend, you know, I don't even think he says my girlfriend.
He doesn't even say that Natalie Portman left him.
Yeah, but his girlfriend left. So he has no one. He lost his eye. He lost his hammer.
He lost his hammer. He lost his eye. You and I actually did a little special on how rough Thor Ragnarok was to Thor. And that was basically just a midlife crisis. So that was my favorite personally. What was yours?
So I loved that team up. I thought that team up was excellent.
Yeah.
I did really, really, really enjoy Doctor Strange and Tony. I thought like their interplay was funny, and Cumberbatch is great. He's like such a cock in that role. He's like so arrogant, but it's also funny. There's like the two of them playing off of each other.
Yeah, the two of them are together great, and it's also like, I also love it because you know that they get each other the whole time.
Yeah.
They understand each other, and then at the end he's like, Tony, it was the only way.
Well, he has that great line.
The line, we're in the end game.
We're in the end game now.
Which I love.
Yeah. There's like one really cool part of this movie that I remember reacting to, and I've thought about this before. It's similar to Lord of the Rings. Like, it's where, you know, Tony basically flies up to the ship as the ship starts to leave. And he makes the decision right away, and he's talking to Pepper on the phone, and you know he's kind of recognizing this. Maybe he's probably like, he's thinking to himself, and you can tell he knows this is maybe the last time he's ever going to talk to her.
That's exactly what I thought.
And I think he kind of knows it. And, you know, Spider-Man gets on the ship, and Doctor Strange and everything, they save him. And, like, I love, like, Tony, no matter how selfish of a person he is, no matter how much he thinks he's getting older, he's just, like, immediately like, you know what? If I'm on this one-way ticket journey to the end to save the world, then that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hesitate. And I love that when they're on the ship and he's like, says to Peter, he's like mad at him. You know, he's like mad that he got on the ship.
He's like, this is a one-way ticket. You don't get it.
Yeah. And I love that he says to him, like, you know, congratulations, you're an Avenger now. And he, you know, grants him an Avenger. And Peter, there's that look on Peter's face.
It's great.
So cool.
Yeah. Cause he's like stoked and he's like, oh, shit.
He also realizes he's
going
to die probably.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
And there's a similar kind of commitment to the journey that you have in Fellowship when you realize that Frodo and Sam, there's a sense they're never going to make it back.
Yeah. They say it.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're like, all right, well, if you guys are in, then I'm in.
Then I'm in.
I'm on the journey.
I'm 100% in. Yeah.
I
love it.
That's really cool.
Really quick shout out to all 50 plus people in the live chat. We love you. Thank you so much. Please like, comment, subscribe if you haven't already to Popcorn Talk. And yeah, comment. I know I already said it, but let us know your thoughts. I would love to talk to and about the chat today, but there's just too much to cover.
So I'm not going to get to read this chat. I'll see the live chat replay, but these will disappear. These aren't going to be YouTube comments. These are going to be chat replays. So if you're listening right now and you're on Twitter, go ahead and tweet at Andrew and myself, at Ben Bateman Media, at Andrew Guy. Whatever your reaction to this episode, to the movie, your thought, what you want to share, if you want us to answer a question, something, tweet at us literally this second. And when we're done with the show right now, we'll go pop it open and we'll interact with you guys. It'll be awesome. We don't get to do it that much because you guys are in the chat. You're having your game over there, but we don't get to, you know, we're on the show.
We're
doing this live. So,
we got a few more minutes. Let's get through another question here. Paul Oyama. Good longtime listener of the show, big fan. Does the fact that so many people fade away at the end, including people that we know for sure are eventually going to survive, cheapen the others' deaths in the movie? Not sure if I know my answer to this, but I don't love fake out deaths that are reversed later.
I don't really get the sense that the deaths we saw in the movie are fake. I think we have both been pretty clear about that. I think the fadeaway deaths are pretty convenient because, like, the original Avengers all survive.
Yeah, I think for me, I never had a moment when leaving the theater or in that moment when it was happening where I was like, well, they're all gone. Never going to get Spider-Man or Black Panther or Bucky or anyone. They're all just gone forever. I never thought that. I feel like they're all going to come back in the second movie somehow. And the more and more that I hear about Gamora's soul being trapped in the Soul Stone, I feel like she might too.
Somehow.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise for me in terms of the fadeaways at the end of the movie was Black Panther. I was kind of shocked, actually, because
they did it on purpose too. Because you go over there and you think, oh, it's gonna be Okoye.
Yeah,
and you're like, no,
no,
the king.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy because like he's such a massive part of the, he's such a massive part of the MCU right now. He's such a hot character. It was strange to me that like they have him fade away, but his return obviously will probably be a big deal when he comes back.
What was your? We got another question here from Andrew Guy. What was your favorite or what was your most heartbreaking fadeaway?
Death. It has to be Spider-Man.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the Groot and Rocket moment and the Quill moment with Drax, but like Peter's was extended for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was really sad.
Yeah, he has the longest one, and you can see it's like Tony feels like he's losing his son. He's like, I don't want to go.
And you can see Peter being a scared kid, which you need.
Yeah.
You need to see that. That's right. Why he's there.
Yeah. I think, you know, Groot was really sad, too. I never know, you know, because Hags is very careful about what he tells us. But I also never know, like, he's extraordinary. We know absolutely nothing.
We know nothing.
But I never know if he tells me something that's, like, a little bit more specific.
Yeah, we always, like try to, yeah.
So that I won't share it, but there's apparently, like, a line from, oh, you weren't even with us. I'll tell you off camera. There's, like, an extra line that apparently Groot says to Rocket just before fading away that they cut.
And it's, I am Groot.
Yeah.
God damn it. Okay, I think that goes through all of our questions. Troll,
man. I didn't even think about that.
Is that?
No.
Are you serious? Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. So, Paul, Nathan, Sarah, Chris, thank you guys so much for your questions. Everyone else out there was so many questions. We could have never gotten through all of them. Thank you guys all so very much. There are three action movie categories, Ben.
Yeah, there are three action movie categories. This is an interesting one. They're totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, ridiculously legitimate, totally legit. That's movies like Lone Survivor, Terminator 2, Gladiator. You know, they really hold together. They're dramatic films. They don't really lose you at any point. You don't really laugh unintentionally. Totally ridiculous movies. That's like Demolition Man, Face Off. Really, really silly movies that you just...
Con Air.
Yeah, The Mechanic. They're really dumb and pretty silly.
But there's still sweet moments in them.
Independence Day Resurgence. And then there are movies that are in the middle category, ridiculously legitimate, which is, you know, that's going to be movies like Predator, and that's movies like John Wick, and they're supposed to be
the
awesome,
yeah.
But they make you laugh a little bit because they have a little bit of unintentional comedy. They're a little ridiculous and a little over the top.
Yeah, there's some things just don't hit the way that they thought it was going to.
And I'm gonna jump in right away here, and I'm gonna say this movie's totally legit.
I don't even need a second. I completely agree.
I you know, it is ridiculous in the sense that it's big and bright and colorful and full of aliens and superheroes, but like it's executed so well. And aside from, I think, the only part of this movie that I had a little complaint about was like, I think
Dinklage.
Yeah. And the CGI monsters on Wakanda just felt a little like yeah. Just like, okay,
here's
it's like another
horde to...
group of like this horde that we don't really even know how they interact. We've never even seen one be birthed. You know, it took all of a minute in Lord of the Rings for them to be like the fighting Uruk-hai, the most deadly. And you're like, okay, now I know who these guys are.
Yeah. They've built it up. Yeah. I agree with that. You know, maybe that moves it in the middle category because of Dinklage and because of the guy in the no, I'm gonna stick to totally
stick
legit.
To legit. Yeah, I think the best parts, the stakes and the weight, it all felt correct. So
yeah, I completely agree.
I think that's correct. There is only one last thing left for us to do on the show, and that's gonna be called the pitch.
Wow.
I was moving to drink my drink. So if you guys were watching,
I know, I was like trying to like look off like I was doing something.
You're like, what's he gonna do? How's he gonna drink the drink and also say the pitch?
I don't know.
I didn't drink the drink.
He didn't. He just did the pitch.
So next week we have kind of an interesting one. We alluded to it a little bit earlier, but this is going to be No Country for Old Men. It's more of a drama than an action movie.
It is 100% more of a drama.
But Brolin's awesome. This movie is fantastic. You guys know that we love the Coen brothers. TLJ's in the movie.
Javier Bardem in like one of the greatest villains ever on screen. And also, even though this movie is a... The pitch.
The
pitch. Even though this movie is more of a drama, the first time that I ever saw this movie... I didn't know... I was on edge the whole time. It felt like an action thriller because... Javier is so terrifying. So it's a drama. We're gonna make it feel like an action movie.
Yeah, we can't wait, guys. If you've never seen it, give yourself the chance to watch it. It's a great movie. We can't wait to talk about it with you next week. Marissa Serafini up in the booth. Thank you so much for running the show today, Marissa.
Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
And guys, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Tweet at us right now, Ben Bateman Media.
You can find me at Andrew Guy.
And you actually can find my movie reviews and news weekly all throughout the week at Nerds and Suits. Check it out. It's on anchor.fm. It's a free app, Spotify, iTunes. Look it up. Nerds and Suits Movies. You can find my stuff there.
And the last thing that we got to plug is Team Action is back in the ring in the Schmodown. We have our first match after my suspension lined up for May 22nd.
You're talking about when we play DC Movie News?
When we play DC Movie News.
Yeah, we're matching up against them pretty soon here. So those guys are going to experience the swift heel of my boot.
Yeah, the old friend, my old friend Mike Kalinowski, we used to do the unproduced table read together, is now my enemy.
Yeah, so we'll hopefully be prepped and ready for that match. And then June 2nd at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood, Team Action headlines the event, playing the Shire Wolves. Buy your tickets now, schmodownlive.com. If you guys want to come hang out, that's a great thing to do. We would love to see you there. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys.
See you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.